Please open your Bibles with me now to the Gospel of Luke in chapter 9. I'm going to be focusing this morning on verses 23 through 27 of Luke chapter 9, but for context, we'll begin reading in verse 18 and read through verse 27. This is Luke chapter 9. We'll begin our reading in verse 18. Hear now the word of our God. "And it happened, as he was alone praying, that his disciples joined him, and he asked them, saying, 'Who do the crowds say that I am?' So they answered and said, 'John the Baptist, but some say Elijah, and others say that one of the old prophets has risen again.' He said to them, 'But who do you say that I am?' Peter answered and said, 'The Christ of God.' And he strictly warned and commanded them to tell this to no one, saying, 'The Son of Man must suffer many things, and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised the third day.' Then he said to them all, 'If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and is himself destroyed or lost? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. But I tell you truly, there are some standing here who shall not taste death till they see the kingdom of God.'" Thus far, the reading of God's holy word. Let us pray. Our God, help us as we seek to understand your word and to apply it to our lives. Help us to know what you call us to as Christians. And God, help us to do those things that you call us to walk in obedience to you cheerfully and willingly, knowing, God, that even if we might suffer for a while, that, God, nothing compares to being in your presence. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In my family, there are some who like roller coasters and some who do not. I'm one who enjoys them, and so I'm usually the one that is riding with the kids. My wife, not so much. She says, "You go ahead and you get on the roller coaster. I'll just stay here with maybe the children who don't want to ride the roller coaster." When we think about a roller coaster, though, they're fun, but there are warnings, aren't there, sometimes? Maybe there's a height warning, or maybe there's some other kind of warning. Those who have heart conditions, don't ride this ride. It's not for the faint of heart. There's warnings, because once you're strapped in to that roller coaster, you went by the chicken exit, and you're strapped in, you're in. You're going. No matter how bumpy the ride gets, you're in. You're held there in place. It's not for the faint of heart. But the Christian life is not for the faint of heart either. It is not for the faint of heart. It will be, as we will see this morning, a bumpy ride. And those who God brings to himself, he straps in for the ride. So sometimes the message is, hold on. Hold on, because it's going to be a bumpy ride for those who are in Christ. But as we'll see here, no matter how bumpy the ride is, no matter how difficult it is, God has promised that we who are in Christ will not faint, will not grow weary. He will sustain us. He will hold us. And no matter how bumpy and how uncomfortable the ride becomes, we know that it will end in the fullness of joy. We know the ending. We know that there's a time where we will get off this ride, where we will no longer suffer. But the path to joy, the path to glory, is through hardship. That's what Jesus is teaching here. That's what Jesus is going to point out in his text. It's interesting, there are many people, there are some, and perhaps you've heard this, that they want to go out in the world and be the hands and feet of Jesus. That's a good desire. But recall what happened to the hands and feet of Jesus. They were nailed to a cross. That's who our Savior is. When you think about that, I wonder if those who are so excited to go out and to live for Jesus truly know what it will cost. Truly know what it will cost. And Jesus is telling the disciples and the others who are there and us a necessary but hard truth. My disciples, those who follow me, will be like me. They will bear scars. The Lord Jesus Christ bore scars. He still bears them in his humanity. We'll bear them for a while here on the earth. Now, it's important to understand here what Jesus is not saying. Jesus is not saying that this is what one must do in order to become a Christian. It's not as if Jesus is saying here, if you want to become a Christian, then you must deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. If you want to become a Christian, you must lose your life. If you want to become a Christian, then you must do these things. No, Jesus is saying, for those who are Christians, this is what your life will look like. You see, Jesus has already told his disciples and us that he is the Christ of God. And he said, this is what being the Christ of God will look like. We looked at that last week. Being the Christ of God will imply that I, the Son of Man, will suffer many things, be rejected, be killed, and be raised on the third day. Now, Jesus didn't do those things. Jesus was not suffering and rejected and killed and raised in order to become the Christ, but because he is the Christ of God. And so when we do these things, we don't do these things in order to become Christians, but because we are Christians. In other words, Jesus is saying that the one who is his disciple will have a life that resembles his life. That resembles his life. Now, Jesus here in Luke chapter 9 has just finished speaking with his 12 disciples. He's been alone with them. They went off and he was praying alone, and his disciples joined him, and his disciples acknowledged what the world did not know, that Jesus was not simply Elijah or John the Baptist or one of the old prophets, but Jesus is the Christ of God. But now, after explaining to them, to his disciples, to the 12, what that means, what to be the Christ of God looks like, to suffer, to be rejected, to be killed, and to be raised on the third day, he calls in others. We read here in verse 23, then he said to them all, not simply all of the 12, but all, there are others, and he brings them in, and he starts teaching them all what it looks like, opening this teaching up, what it looks like to stay the course of the Christian life. And so as we look at verses 23 through 27, and we answer the question, what does it look like to live as Christians? I want you to understand that to live as Christians is to place Jesus at the very center of our lives. To live as Christians is to place Jesus at the very center of our lives. We will resemble Jesus. We will value Jesus and honor Jesus. Look with me at verse 23 as we see how as Christians we will resemble Jesus. Then he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, and by come after me, he means if anyone desires to be my disciple. And the first thing we read there is let him deny himself. So as Christians, we'll resemble Jesus by denying ourselves. Jesus humbled himself in coming for his people. Jesus in his human nature denied relying upon himself. Think about it. Jesus came taking upon himself human flesh, and in his earthly ministry, in his walk, he entirely depended upon God, not himself. That's the call to a Christian. We are to depend not on ourselves, we're not self-reliant. We are to depend entirely upon God. And not only that, but Jesus denied himself in that he denied his own will. That is, the will that he may have had humanly speaking, his desires. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Thy will be done. How many of you have been to a bookstore and seen a self-help section? Probably seen a self-help section. They've grown and grown and grown and grown. You can find help for about anything in that section. Do you know what I jokingly call that section? I call it the no help section. And you may find some help for some things, but in reality, it's the no help section, because self-help is impossible, particularly when it comes to spiritual things. You cannot help yourself. Jesus says here, you have to deny yourself. You have to deny yourself. And in reality, what I want you to understand is there's no such thing as a self-help Christian. It doesn't exist. You must deny yourself. And when we deny ourselves, we acknowledge two things. We acknowledge that we cannot save ourselves. We cannot save ourselves. We must rely upon God fully. It is His power, not our own. Deny yourself. But also, we must understand that we no longer serve ourselves. Jesus came to do the will of His Father in heaven. Now, before coming into a relationship with Christ, before regeneration, we served ourselves and our own desires and the things of the world. But now, those who are in Christ have a new master. Jesus said you can't serve both. You have to choose one or the other. We do not rely upon ourselves, but we also no longer serve ourselves. It is God's will, not our will, that we seek. The one who is to come after me, Jesus says, let him deny himself. But we'll resemble Jesus in that we will suffer as he did. Notice he says, not only are those who come after him to deny themselves, but to take up his cross. Take up his cross. Now this would have given those who heard it a vivid image in their mind. Perhaps they had seen those who were crucified by the Romans carrying their cross to their place of crucifixion. That was part of the punishment, was to publicly bring the weapon of your own death to your crucifixion. And so they would bear that cross. It symbolized being under the power of Roman authority. And so we are told here to take up our cross. And when we do as Christians, when we take up our cross, we acknowledge a couple of things here. One, that our independent life is over. Much as the person who was carrying their cross, their life was over. It was done. Our independent life is over. We do not belong to ourselves any longer. We belong to our faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. But also we are dead to the things of this worldly life. We are to put to death sin. We are to put to death the deeds of the old man. Paul in Galatians 5 verse 24 puts it this way. They that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its affections and lusts. So what does it look like to take up our cross? Well, it looks like this. A life in which those who do so voluntarily accept and endure pain, shame, and persecution. Voluntarily endure pain, shame, and persecution. Not going out and seeking it, but when it comes, enduring it by God's grace. That's why Paul can tell Timothy in 2 Timothy, in his letter to him, to endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. So those who resemble the Lord Jesus Christ will deny our own power, rely upon God, will no longer serve ourselves, will suffer as he did. But will also resemble Jesus by walking as he did. Notice, Jesus goes on, he says, not only is the person to deny himself and take up his cross daily, but also follow me. Now, if you are doing this, if you are denying yourself, and if you're taking up your cross, you are following Jesus. When we deny ourselves, we walk as Jesus did. We deny our own strength. We rely upon God in His human nature. He depended upon God for everything. When we take up our cross, we walk as Jesus did, who humbled Himself, not despising even the shame of the cross for His people. But it's important to understand here that this is something in the life of a Christian that will be continual and continually true about us. You see, the word in the Greek that is translated here both desires in verse 23 and follow me is in the present tense. In other words, it's as if Jesus is saying, if anyone is now presently desiring to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and continue to follow me. Continue to follow me. This is not a one-time desire, but a daily desire. In fact, Luke even includes here, take up his cross daily. How often do we have to take up our cross? How often do we have to be willing to volunteer, to suffer pain, persecution, and shame? Daily. Daily. It's not a path we can ever leave. Follow me continually. When we follow Jesus, when we then deny ourselves, when we willingly endure for his sake pain and shame, guess who we will start to look more and more like? The Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that what sanctification is? Becoming more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ? Becoming more and more like the one we love? And when we look more like Jesus, we will start to look at things in a different way. We will no longer desire to feed ourselves on the things of this world. We will not desire to save our lives, but we will become willing even to give them up. Why? Because we have seen the value of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've seen the value. So Christians will resemble Jesus, but Christians, we will value Jesus. Notice what Jesus says in verse 24. It's paradoxical. Whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. In other words, what Jesus is saying here is if you desire by your own works to earn your salvation, you will fail. But he who gives up control, he who gives up that struggle and looks to Christ alone will save their lives. See, it's the opposite of what our human nature, our sinful human nature would say. Our sinful human nature would say that we have to do something to save ourselves. But the opposite is true of the gospel. And we will see then the value of the Lord Jesus Christ. He goes on in verse 25, for what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and is himself destroyed or lost? The language here is that of business. If a man invests in the world and ends up earning the entire world, he'll be a loser in the end. You see, Christians will value Jesus above everything, above all of our earthly comforts. There's a lot of things that you're going to enjoy in this world, but they will not make you happy. They will not bring true joy. At best, they will bring pleasure for a season, but not for eternity. In fact, you probably noticed this. You get something, and pretty soon, you're dissatisfied with it. You thought that was going to be what really was going to do it for you, and yet, it didn't satisfy. Only Christ satisfies. We will value Jesus above all of our earthly comforts. But here Jesus says that we will value him above even our lives. He who will save his life will be the one who loses it for the sake of Christ. Now, certainly there are those who have lost their physical life for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. Many of the 12 would. But Jesus is not simply speaking here of losing our physical life. To lose our life for the sake of Jesus is not simply to physically die, but to live a life that is so devoted to Jesus that we have effectively become dead to this world. To live a life that is so devoted to Jesus that we have effectively become dead to this world. Because this world is without profit. This world is without profit. In fact, notice here what Jesus says. He says, even if a man were to gain the whole world, verse 25, what good is it if he himself is destroyed or lost eternally? That's what Jesus is saying here. Now, this is not a good trade. That's what Jesus is saying. This is a bad business deal. If you seek the world, you're going to lose everything. But if you seek Christ, you will not lose a thing. I love this quote from Jim Elliot, martyred, who did give his life for the sake of Christ. He said, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." That's what Jesus is saying here. You give your life to me, devote it to me, and you will gain. And see, Christians here, as we live our lives, resemble Jesus. We value him above all else, even our very lives, because we know who he is. The third thing that I want you to see here, Jesus brings out this idea of shame. Think about being ashamed of someone. The opposite of being ashamed of someone is to hold them in high esteem or to honor them. And so the third thing that it will look like to live as a Christian is that Christians will honor Jesus. Jesus says here in verse 26, "Whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in his own glory." We will honor not only the person of Jesus, the living word, we certainly will. And think about this, if we are by Christ and in Christ relieved of the shame of our sin, if through his shame we now have been freed from the guilt and the shame, how ungrateful would it be to be ashamed of him? To be ashamed of him. But not only does Jesus say that we as Christians will not be ashamed of him, but we will also not be ashamed of his words, the teachings of Jesus. Now we have that all embodied in the written word of God. We will not be ashamed. Paul said in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, that he was not ashamed of the gospel. He was not ashamed of the gospel. Why? Because the gospel was the power of salvation for all who believe. The world is ashamed of the things of Christ. The world is ashamed of the word. And the sad reality is that many in the so-called church are ashamed of what the Bible clearly teaches. We don't want that part of the Bible because it does not fit with modern sensibilities. That's being ashamed of his words. And Jesus says that being ashamed of what my word teaches is the same thing as being ashamed of me. And all who are ashamed of me and all who are ashamed of my word, I will be ashamed when I come in my glory, Jesus says. When I return at my second coming in my own glory and in my Father's and of the holy angels. Jesus said, if you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father in heaven. Now, how is it that we show that we are those who honor Christ, those who are not ashamed of him? Well, we profess him. We saw that this morning, didn't we? In a public profession of faith, as Jeannie stood up here, she acknowledged before men who her Lord was. She did that. If you have done that, if you have acknowledged the Lord Jesus Christ before men, you're not ashamed to own him. That's why church membership is important. We stand before men and we proclaim and we say, we are not ashamed of our Lord. We are not ashamed of what his word teaches. We're willing to take his name upon our lips. We're willing to be known by those outside the walls of the church as Christians, no matter what comes upon us. We'll willingly be known as Christians, not ashamed to do so, even though that means that we will need to deny ourselves, need to take up our cross, and follow his path, which is not easy. We identify with him when we identify with his body, the church. So if you've not professed your faith, become a member, are a member of a church, then do that. Publicly profess, I am not ashamed of my Lord. And I will willingly proclaim it before men. And notice, finally, that Jesus, to encourage us as we are called to deny ourselves, take up our cross and follow Him. As we are denied to lose our life in order to gain it. As we are commanded here to honor Him, not to be ashamed of Him. He gives us this great and glorious truth in verse 27. He says, "But I tell you truly, there are some standing here who shall not taste death till they see the kingdom of God." Now Jesus is saying this, and we'll get to what He means there, but the ultimate message here that Jesus is bringing out is that victory is at hand. The kingdom of God has already come and is coming and will continue to come. And as He has said in verse 26, we who honor Jesus now will not be ashamed at His coming. We will not be ashamed at His coming, because He will surely come, and He will come in victory. Now there's much debate over what verse 27 actually teaches. What did Jesus mean by "those who are standing here, some of those will see the kingdom of God"? Well, some would say that Jesus is referring to His transfiguration. That's going to happen. In fact, we're going to look at this, Lord willing, next week as He manifests Himself before Peter, John, and James as He is transfigured. Some say this is speaking of His resurrection, His vindication. Some say Pentecost. Some say it's the destruction of Jerusalem in AD 70. Others say His second coming. That would be a long time for these individuals to live, because Jesus says there are some standing here who shall not taste death. They're not going to die until they see this. And so I think it's best then to take this as Jesus speaking of what then is coming, His resurrection. He's already mentioned that. He's going to be raised the third day. His resurrection, the coming of His kingdom, including then that outworking of His resurrection power in Pentecost and the building up of His church. And ultimately, this is all going to culminate, isn't it, in His second coming and the victory of His church. That's the encouragement that we have as those who are called to live as who we are, Christians. Yes, it's going to be difficult. Because what does it look like to live as a Christian? Well, simply, it looks a lot like Jesus. Because what does Christian mean? The name Christian literally means little Christs. So it shouldn't surprise us that to live as a Christian is to look a lot like Jesus. And those who follow Jesus, therefore, will resemble Him, denying ourselves, denying our own power and our own will, and relying upon the power of God, trusting the will of God. Like Jesus, we're not here on the earth to serve ourselves, but we're here to serve God. We're not here on the earth primarily to enjoy the things of this world, although God does give us things to enjoy. We're here to die to the things of this world, and in doing so, we find that we have life, and life abundantly. And therefore, we are not ashamed. We are not ashamed to proclaim God before men. We are not ashamed, are we, to take every opportunity to honor the Lord Jesus Christ with our words and our actions. What does it look like to live as a Christian? This is it. We're not promised an easy ride. In fact, we're told it's not going to be easy at times. But this is what it is to be a Christian. But here's the good news. Those who share in Christ's sufferings, through denying ourselves, taking up our cross, and follow Him, will share in His glory. We will share in His glory. That's the good news. The Christian life is not easy, but it is worth it. Christian life is not easy, but it is worth it. So don't trade anything. Don't trade anything in this world for Jesus. Don't do it. You will lose in the end. Value and honor Him above all else, and you will never be ashamed. Amen. Let us pray. Our God, help us as those You have called, as those You have united to Christ, as those who take upon ourselves the name of Christians, to live as Christians. Not to seek our own will, but to seek yours. Not to rely upon our own power, but understand that everything that we need comes from you. And help us to be willing to undergo pain and suffering and all of these things for the sake of Christ, even willing to lose our lives, knowing that to lose our lives on the earth is only gain in heaven. Oh God, encourage us and encourage each of us as we think about the reality that we have professed before men that you are our God and that we are your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.